If you were asked to write a spiritual resume, what would you list as your job experiences in the church and in service to the community? What would you describe as your very best gifts or skills that you have to offer God? Sometimes we're too critical of ourselves, and we undervalue our special gifts, or maybe hide them in fear that somebody might ask us to do something if they discover our talent. But Paul reminds us that God has given us these gifts to be used for the well-being of the family of God, the church, and for the world. It's such a joy when people discover their gifts and begin to step out in faith and offer those gifts and experience the wonder and awe of impacting someone else's life for the good. The Apostle Paul wrote a lot about spiritual gifts in the church in the letters to the Christians in Corinth. In chapter 13, it's called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said that the three best gifts were faith, hope, and love, and that the greatest gift of all is love. And all of us can love someone. We have that gift for sure. In chapter 12, Paul has this long list of spiritual gifts that God gives out freely to God's children. These gifts aren't earned by Christians. They're not given as prizes or achievement awards. The Holy Spirit distributes a variety of gifts to be used in the building up of the church and for the common good. Our spiritual gifts are not to be used to show off or to make us look good. Paul says that the many diverse gifts that God offers are to be used in a spirit of cooperation and for the building up or edification of others, not building up or edifying ourselves. One of the points that Paul makes in this teaching is that all of our gifts, no matter what the gift may be, all of them come from the same source, the Holy Spirit. And that God gives such a variety of gifts. It would be terrible if we all had the same gift. You know, that would be awful because the church needs everybody to participate. We cannot control the Holy Spirit's ministry among us. However, once we discern what our gifts are, we can seek the power of God's Spirit in using these gifts to help others. Paul lists in this particular passage wisdom, preaching, knowledge, faith, healing, performing miracles, discernment of spirits, speaking and interpreting tongues. This list is not exhaustive by any means. In other writings, Paul lists other gifts, such as teaching. That was one of the greatest gifts of Jesus, was teaching. What would you include in your list of gifts from God? I would add that I think God gives some folks, this is Becky's list, a great sense of humor. And they use it to make people laugh. And it's a wonderful way to build people up. In my dad's family, every single member of his family was a comedian. I'm telling you the truth. And we all would laugh when our families would get together so much over the silliest things. But it was fun. There are gifts of music and singing and dancing and leadership ability, management, carpentry, cooking, creating art, counseling others, encouraging, being a comforter, and the list could go on and on. Gifts are to be given away, shared for the common good of the community. Most of us know that when we don't use our gifts, we may lose them. We get so rusty and out of whack that our skills begin to diminish. However, with work and practice, we can rediscover our gifts, or develop new gifts. We can dust them off, polish them up, and use them to beautify the world. I saw a documentary on Bacchus this week on TV, and I thought, how blessed we are to live in a city with such creativity, such beauty, such delight. As far as the art on these floats and the pyrotechnic lights and all these things are doing today, it's just absolutely beautiful. I love it when I'm driving on the street and all of a sudden they're taking a parade somewhere to get it started and I'm like just run into it accidentally. Now, yes, it's going to delay me, but it's so fun just to watch rubber duckies and Donald Duck and, you know, rabbits and all kinds of creatures go by in front of your car. No other city has this, y'all. I've lived in a lot of places. They don't have it. But human beings are amazing. When we get older, we can still learn new ways of helping others and serve in our community of faith. We have a 94-year-old who lives in the community in Belchase. He is from another denomination. He's never been to worship at our church, but he's our secret gardener. We'll come to the church and we'll say, who brought that big planter of plants? Nobody knows. And so one of our members, she calls him up, did you bring that? Yes. He brought a whole nativity scene. He has brought so many flowers and planted them. And he just wants to do this out of the goodness of his heart. And he's a secret gardener from the community. And he's 94 and gets down digging in the dirt. What a blessing. What a gift. Just this past week, some of you may have seen this also on television. After the Philadelphia Eagles player, Alshon Jeffrey, missed a key pass in the game, which was intercepted by the Saints, he was so discouraged that he just lay on the field with his face down. A second grader named Abigail Johnson was watching the game with her family. She describes herself at 8 years old as a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. She cried when she saw him lay down on the ground, face down. She was moved to write a letter to Alshon Jeffrey and offer him comfort and encouragement. She told him in person that everybody makes mistakes and it's okay. But she also wrote in her letter to him, she said, remember last year, the Eagles would not have won the Super Bowl without you and your talent. She told him to keep practicing, that he was a good athlete and a good football player. And after receiving her letter, Jeffrey arranged to visit her second grade class on a surprise, especially on a surprise to her. The whole class began to sing, with the help of their teacher, the fight song for the Eagles to Jeffrey. What a beautiful day. The story was on TV news, so I was able to see this little girl standing next to this giant professional football player, and they were friends. She offered her gift of comfort and consolation to this man. What a wonderful example. Her gift was not expensive or extravagant. That little girl brought joy to Jeffrey's heart and to everybody across the nation who heard her story of compassion. How are you spending the time that God has given you? Elizabeth Saunders has asked us to ponder that question. Are you proud of how you are spending your time? She urges us to stop doing what seems to be urgent and to start intentionally investing instead in what's most important. She encourages us to prioritize family and friends, take vacations, stay healthy, and know yourself. In my experience, she writes, it's too easy to lose track of who you are. what you enjoy, where you are in life, and more importantly, where you're going. Unless you purposely take time to reflect. We spend too much time in front of our computer screens and phones and all those devices today, and not enough time in self-reflection or person-to-person interaction. The famous musician Johnny Cash had these words in one of his songs. He warned people not to be so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Ethical actions need to support what we believe. For example, we just can't say, oh, we love our neighbor. We must perform actions of love toward our neighbor. We can't simply believe in forgiveness. We must forgive those who hurt us. We can't just talk about justice. We have to do justice. So we have to not only talk about being a Christian, we have to walk the way of Christ, just like Jesus did. My husband Jeff has worked as a chaplain at Osher now for almost two years, and he's been so impressed with the core values that they teach everybody, nurses, doctors, staff members, chaplains, to follow in the hospital. Two of those which are most near and dear to his heart are that of compassion and healing. This past week, Jeff was asked to join the ethics committee of the hospital. We're very excited because it's an honor for him, only being there 2 years, to be asked to serve on this very special committee. But you also enter this committee with fear and trembling. It's composed of doctors, nurses, palliative care staff, chaplains, others that are maybe involved in a particular person's patient care. And sometimes they have such a complicated case that they're not sure what's the right course of action or the best course of action. So they form this team and they talk about the situation. They listen to one another. They reflect. They're all so extremely busy. But for a certain complicated case where the path is not clear, they form this ethics team and decide together with everybody what is the best thing to do for this patient. It's not always easy, and it's not always cut and dried. But I was thinking about that ethics committee, how wonderful in our church, and we do this many times, but if we ask the question as a team of church members, what is the best possible outcome for this church, for this community? And how can we work together and listen instead of rushing to judgment or making assumptions, but to truly listen to differing viewpoints? And then reflect together. And always sharing those viewpoints, even when we disagree, with love and respect. What's most important to teach our children? Yes, we want them to be in soccer. We want them to be in band. We want them to be on the swim team. We want them to enjoy life. But if we leave out God in teaching our children, in my opinion, they will not have the best quality of life that they can have if they do not have a relationship with God. That's just my own opinion from my own life and experience. It doesn't mean that their life is going to be easier because they're Christians. They may be made fun of because they may go against what society says. You may be made fun of because you go against what society might say, oh, it's fine, everybody for themselves. Well, that's not what God teaches us. Sometimes we will be different because of our following Jesus. And sometimes there's a price to pay for that. But the rewards of the love that we receive, the joy, the peace, the hope, the body of Christ, the church family, the blessing that is to us and to others. To me, the benefits outweigh the sacrifice. Paul teaches in this Corinthians passage that he compares the church like our human bodies, and we know if you have a broken toe, you suffer and your whole walk is off. You can't play games that you want to play outside. You maybe can't ride your bike. Your whole body is impacted by even a little toe that's broken. And we need each other, just like the body needs all of its parts to function well. And we impact one another. I think I've shared this story with you before, but some of you are new, haven't heard this ridiculous example. But when I was being ordained in Shreveport, my hand was in a cast. My whole arm was in a cast. Couldn't move my fingers. I had a rod sticking up all the way to my elbow that was, and my bones, my pinky, my thumb had been broken, as well as my wrist crushed by an airbag many months before. I think it was early April, and this was middle of June, and I was still in this cast. I was hoping to be done with that before ordination, but it wasn't possible, so with the pain of my arm, I needed help getting dressed, and I asked my husband to help me put on pantyhose. And it was the most frustrating event of our marriage, and it was also the most hilarious event. Because you men don't know what we women suffer with all the things we have to go through, okay? But it's a funny memory that we always laugh about and we never forget. And I could not do it by myself with one hand. And I wanted to wear pantyhose for my ordination. So it was ridiculous, but it's an example of how we, the body of Christ, have to help each other sometimes. Be there for each other. Support one another. And it's okay to ask somebody for help. As a matter of fact, I think it shows strength of character to know when we need help, not just physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever we're going through. We cannot accomplish the mission of Christ by ourselves. It takes a team of us sharing the love and the grace and the teachings of Christ and living them as an example for our world. God has made each one of us unique. It would be terrible if we were all clones, like I said before, and all had the same talents. No, God has made us different colors, different sizes, different shapes, and we have different gifts. But God has asked us to bring those in a collaborative effort as a team, not for the benefit of us, but for the common good. Do you have a plan in 2019 where you're going to offer your gifts? If you don't, I encourage you to sit down and make a plan, you know? Maybe you haven't ever tried to be a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe you've never helped in the nursery before, but you can hear those little ones, those adorable little kids that we have, saying, you know what, maybe I could give a Sunday a month to help proceed in the nursery. Or help Rooney with teaching, or Charlotte with teaching. One woman, Kim Spencer, defined her gift as simply this: my purpose is to be the person who can pick up the phone and give you 30 minutes in which you can complain about your coworker, about your spouse, about your life. Whatever you want to talk about, I can listen and be supportive. That's one of her gifts. We were talking in Bible study Wednesday night at Belchase, and they said this one lady, it's a sister of one of our members, she can be in the grocery store, she can be in the parking lot, she can be in line at a theater, and invariably somebody will come up to her, strangers, and start telling her their troubles. And she listens. Her sister said, I asked her the other day, we were in Walmart, and she had this long conversation with this person, and I said, who was that? She said, I don't know. They just come to her. She has this spirit, welcoming spirit, that says, you know what? I can take a little time to care. simple gift, didn't cost her any money. God has given us gifts. Discover what your gifts are. Use them for the benefit of others, the common good. And let us be there with one another as teammates, pulling together, offering everything we can for the Lord to use us and to help others. The Holy Spirit will give us the strength that we may not think we have. The Holy Spirit will guide us and help us. May we present ourselves this morning ready to go to work in the Lord's vineyard. Amen.